true.
October 8th, Tuesday, this is our city council workshop. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Holland is absent. Vice Mayor Clufus?
Present.
Councilmember Branquino?
Here.
Councilmember Cupp?
Present.
Councilmember Howe?
Here.
Excellent. Okay, moving on to our first portion of public participation. We invite anyone from the public to address our council to do so. Approach the podium, state your name for the record, and you will have 3 minutes.
Ready?
Once you begin.
Yes.
Okay, my name is Phyllis Robbins Scheffler, a resident of almost 41 years. I'm here to inform you of a serious flaw in the permitting application process that has robbed the city of the proper filing fees, as well as resulting in a botched job of a complete restoration of an upper deck severely damaged due to leaking at my home. The contractor received $23,500 in payment, and the deck still leaks. The city is culpable for the state of affairs that exists at my home. The permitting department, under the supervision of Bobby Bembry, has allowed contractors to state on the permit whatever their hearts desire. For this presentation, I'm only speaking of one contractor. He is president of his corporation, his wife is vice president and a notary, and the third officer, also a vice president, and the actual stated licensee, contractor who lives out of state. The notary files the application and attests to the signature of the state licensee. Her husband is the contractor who is hired. He's legally able to work under another licensee. That's legal. What's not legal is that this notary may not attest to the veracity of a signature per state statute 117.05, which states that a notary may not validate a signature if she is to receive any monetary gain from the work performed. It is obvious that gain would accrue to her both as vice president of the corporation and as a spouse of her contractor husband doing the job. What this notary filed in person was for a job value of $2,200, not the $23,500 that the contractor signed proposal stated. The job description merely stated it was to repair an existing beam, whereas it was a six-week undertaking to completely restore the upper deck. The notary paid $124 in cash to the clerk. At no time was there a permit on site in evidence. The contractor is now building a new home on a saltwater canal, so even though this trio falsified documents, they are afforded the opportunity to forge ahead. I am left to suffer the consequences of not being given the proper oversight. Only two inspections were done during the last 10 days of this major project, where the permit surfaced to the two inspectors who came. From where they surfaced, I don't know. Maybe from the back pocket of the contractor. I met with both Mr. Morton and Mr. DiLorenzo on Friday for a 50-minute presentation. They were most cordial and grateful for what they learned.
That's your 3 minutes.
Neither one was full. I'm finished?
Yep, that's your 3 minutes. The timer was
3 minutes. Okay, I have another 3 minutes coming up at the end. Do I not?
You will.
I'll continue at that point. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Phil. Next speaker?
You all heard me loud and clear, I trust.
Correct. Next speaker?
My name is Lacey.
Good morning.
And I'm a resident here in Campos. First of all, I want to appreciate something that taking place in one of the last meetings that I was present, and I don't recall if it was the last one, to Mr. Morton, appreciation, to Councilman Jack Howell, Mr. Branquinho, and the rest of the council, for which, under the advice of Mr. Morton, that you have decided to hear the residents, and by now, to stop any further remodeling of Whiteview Parkway. Okay, I appreciate that. I'm here mainly for one reason today, which is to address the speed. The speed is not only in our roads, but also in our waterways. It is, I request that before, and I would say that maybe the council, our city, needs to get some grants from the Inland Navigation Department, or as well from the Florida Wildlife Preservation, because with these speeders in the canals, we are really hurting our wildlife, especially our manatees, which are protected, as I understand. Here I have 18 pages that I printed out of a total of 53 pages of the problems that people in the waterfront canals are talking about and witnessing and filming and sending videos to our Jeff Turner, our Marine Patrol. This is terrible what it is happening, and especially just west of the marina in the main canal until it opens on a while. Here we have a comment of one of those, probably one of those speakers, answering a very responsible waterfront owner, says, it's too bad that we can't have speed bumps on the canals. This person answered to him, yes, there are speed bumps. They're called seagulls and manatees. This is the kind of comment. In another comment, this very responsible also waterfront person said, a large cruiser, and names the cruiser, obviously I'm not going to name it here, that when making a huge wake, when there were six workers working on a dock, and they affected, they put down those. We are waiting with no signs on our canals posted for minimum wake or whatever is required. We are waiting for a tragedy to happen, because we do have paddle boaters, and we do have kayakers, and we do have canoers on our canals. And also, these wakes destroy our seawalls. There is no reason for this. Speeds inside the canal. So I really appreciate, again, I'm going to keep on insisting, and I'm going to give a copy to Mr. Morton so he can see the misery, the waterfront people. There are 53 more pages to that. So first with these speeders in the canal. Thank you so very much. Thank you.
Next speaker.
Robert Sound, Palm Coast. At last week's Mayor and Council meeting, I brought my daughter with me because she has a completely different issue with the city, and she provided to the city facts about children that are in Flagler Beach as well as Palm Coast that are going to bed hungry every night. And also, she also provided statistics as to how many children that we have right here, primarily in Palm Coast, that are ultimately dying of cancer. And her concern was the same as mine, that we keep dumping more and more and more money into this golf course. I can't comprehend how and why we keep dumping money in every year when it's a proven statistical fact that over the last 4 years that we've lost almost $1.5 million. And I've talked to some other older residents of the city, and they've informed me that they said, you think the numbers were bad now, you should have seen it when we first took it over in the early 2000s. I don't even want to know what those numbers are, because I wasn't here back then, but I'm here now. And I just can't comprehend how you can all sit there and dump money into a golf course that we're losing money every year when there's other things in the city that desperately need to be fixed, desperately need to be paid for. Now, she also made a comment about all these other children that have life-threatening illnesses. And Councilman Howell made a comment later on after the meeting, or at the end, that he had taken a helicopter ride around the city looking for homeless. We're not talking about the homeless. We know how Palm Coast handled the homeless situation with the situation behind the public library that sat there for 4 years. Nobody seemed to know this is there. But anyway, so my request is for the city just to provide me a copy of how much money we've lost in 2019, because we already got the numbers for 15, 16, 17, 18. And I provided a copy of those numbers to Councilman Howell about a month or so ago, and he said the city was going to have a meeting and discuss why we continued to keep dumping good money into bad. Now, I mean, unless somebody in the city owns that golf course, I don't know, but I don't understand why you keep dumping a couple of $100,000 into a golf course. Thank you.
Next speaker.
Steve Carr, Palm Coast. On the wake situation of the boats in the canal, why can't the city run some articles in the Palm Coast Reserve reminding residents on boats not to speed through the canals? Why not talk about it on the radio station also? Just a suggestion. Speeding on Florida Park Drive seems to go in spurts and speed and increases during the weekend. It's a lot of speeding on the weekend. And I really would like the city to take a look at that and see what kind of resolution we can get for that. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker. Okay, we'll close public comment. Addressing the speakers in chronological order, I will meet with Matt and Jason to figure out what exactly is transpiring with Ms. Lewis, who was speaking about her issue with the contractors. I know that this is an ongoing issue, and I haven't been privy to everything that's going on up to this point, so I'll get a recap, but I also encourage her to stick around and make comment at the end of today's session. Celia, for the inland navigation, FWP, looking for ideas to handle the canal speeders, I think that's a great idea. I also think Mr. Carr made a great comment about wake awareness. If we can have a social media presence about wake awareness and perhaps even a physical presence in the newspaper. I don't disagree that there's probably a solution that's available for fighting these canal speeders, but it's not only a safety issue, it's a small issue, as you're saying, so there could be ideas or funds available through some other means besides just stopping speeders. If we portray it as a safety and a seawall issue, then perhaps there's other avenues for us to pursue. But I don't know any off the top of my head, but maybe engaging our sheriff's office would also be insightful. Mr. McDonald, if the city can get you the Palm Harbor financials for the 2019 year, that would be excellent, and we can fulfill that request. And then Steve Carr, again, I had mentioned that the social media awareness for wake awareness is something that we can absolutely do. And I see Mr. Shaggy sitting back there, so perhaps we can get something together. So. Okay, moving on to presentations. The first presentation is for a resolution approving the cultural arts grant for the fiscal year 2019-2020. Morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Vice Mayor and Council. This is the annual recommendation for cultural arts grants. To give you a little overview, we sunsetted the Leisure Services Advisory Committee on August 20th with plans to create our Parks and Recreation Foundation. In the interim, we created an internal cultural arts review committee. The members comprised of myself, Brittany McDermott, Denise Bevin, Kelly Little Downey, and Beth Dawson. We held an open meeting with many of our cultural arts grants applicants to the public, and this meeting was held on September 12th. In the budget approval process, council approved $30,000 to be split between the groups that applied. We had 13 total applicants this year. New this year is we did a digital application through DocuSign, and it went very well. These 13 groups provide wonderful programs in our city each year, and we are recommending a total amount of $29,600 to these, split between these groups. And any questions?
Is this number larger than the groups that we had split it in previous years, or is this about the same?
It's about the same. Last year we had 14. This year we only had 13. The 14th group did not submit an application.
What was the amount last year? Was it 30,000 also?
No, we had 34,000 last year. It is lower this year. It was actually only approved for 30,000, but we had a... whenever we did this approval process, we as staff didn't do the proper reconciliation, so we gave out more than we should have last year, but we're making sure that this year it is only the 30,000.
And the distribution seems pretty fair. Yes. Does the council agree with that? I mean, pretty straight across the board. I don't see any real issues. Council, any other comments? Discussion? I know that the arts are critical, you know, our cultural arts, to Palm Coast, and every time I see an event like the Turtle Unveiling or anything like that, it's nice to see how our community works together. It really adds value to the city, not just from a standpoint of, you know, being inviting, but really to the creativity. It's an incredible thing. So I think these are all very important programs, and I'm glad we're able to contribute what we have.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to our second presentation today, it is a resolution approving a work order with Pond & Company for design and construction engineering services for the wastewater treatment plant number 1 administration building. Mr. Adam. Morning.
Good morning. Okay. What we're talking about here is a building on wastewater treatment plant number 1 site. This is a wastewater treatment plant aerial view. The yellow square with the X in it is the location that we're talking about. Wastewater treatment plant number 1 is at the end of Utility Drive. It's a site that's been used as a wastewater treatment site since the very beginning of Palm Coast. Currently, we have a converted motor control center that is used as our existing space for operators to work out of. We have 9 employees on the site. They do their laboratory testing, their storage. There's a little bit of a workspace, some meeting space, only 1 restroom for the city staff. There's no shower facilities on site except for our outside emergency safety showers. The industrial waste inspector also works out of that site, but he's in an old converted chlorine facility that's away from the main office. And the lockers for the city staff are located in yet another building. This is what the existing accommodations look like. That room used to be full of breakers and motor starters. One of the wastewater plant expansions built a new motor control center, and we converted this space to our meeting space. You can see here the various storage corners that we have stuff. In that second from the left photo, you see 2 refrigerators. One is for lunch, the other is for wastewater samples.
Just confused.
Yep. That's another. So what we're proposing is to construct a new facility on site. And we turn that over to our engineering department to try to put together that project.
And we believe that 3,000 to 4,000 square feet would be sufficient for now and the future. And the offices would be for the lead operator in the wastewater. So the meeting and training area, so they can have their CEUs and keep them up. And male and female restrooms and a break room and parking. And the Pond and Company work order is $88,607 and covers the design phase of $76,211 and the construction phase of $12,296, and that is just for design and construction.
Yeah, questions. So if you had the 3,000 to 4,000 square foot space, how many additional employees would you envision working in there?
For now, we don't anticipate any additional operators at that facility until that facility would get expanded in the future. We might add maybe one, like a mechanical tech or something like that in the meantime, but right now that's sufficient to handle the nine operators. We operate 7 days a week, as you can imagine. Currently, we only staff 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. As if the plant gets expanded in the future, there's a good likelihood that we would have to, by permit, extend the operating hours. But right now, we don't anticipate adding maybe one or two employees at most in the foreseeable future.
Do we have a timeline for the estimated, like when this project would actually be tried to fit into our city timeline?
We have it done by 2021 December.
Gotcha. Yeah. I don't think the current facilities are very adequate. I mean, with one restroom and no actual, since here to bring it up to OSHA standards, do we think that the current facility is not, since it's been there forever, it's kind of probably in and
well, there are probably some OSHA standards like the bloodborne pathogens rule that says you really need a shower at the facility other than an outdoor emergency shower and a few things like that.
I do understand that.
Safety and sanitary conditions, I mean.
Absolutely.
What's the total cost of this project? You said $88,000.
Yeah, the construction of the building itself is likely to be in the neighborhood of about $400,000.
Okay. Now, have we budgeted for the $88,000?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we budgeted almost $2 million.
Right.
Okay.
Cost the $400,000.
Yeah, the wastewater expansion program. Yep. $1.96 million.
Okay.
We've actually had this in our five-year CIP for quite some time, but have been pushing it back, making do.
Any expected points of friction or anything like that with this project?
No, it's on a it's on a site that's we're well aware of all the underground facilities and.
There you go. All right, fair enough. Understood. Council, do we have any other questions? All right, well, thank you very much for your presentation. All right, moving on to the written items, we have a slew of resolutions. Yes, this is the nominee of resolutions. Number three is a resolution authorizing a bank loan with Center State Bank for the purpose of financing stormwater improvement. Good morning, Gwena.
We have been working on the stormwater loan to go with the enhanced project that was approved by City Council last year with the rate study. We had on September 24th, Mark Gallen with Hilltop Securities came and presented the results of the RFP and his recommendation that the city move forward with the loan from Center State. It is divided in two parts, $1.2 million to 10-year loan for purchased equipment at 2.37% and $4.1 million. That's a 20-year portion of the loan at a fixed rate of 2.48, and that is for projects. I have Chris Rowe here. He is our bond counsel, and he can speak to you about the resolution.
Welcome. Come on up.
Thank you.
Morning.
Good morning, Counsel. Thank you. I'm Chris Rowe with the law firm Bryant Miller. I'll let each of us serve as bond counsel to the city. The resolution you have for consideration this morning would approve a loan agreement with Central State Bank. It lays out the terms and conditions by which the city would obtain the loan, and as Helene expressed, it's basically divided into two parts, each represented by its own promissory note to pay the debt over time. The loan agreement sets forth typical covenants of the city, which are basically promises the city makes to the lender in order to ensure that the lender is repaid in due time for the monies that are borrowed. If council is inclined to move forward with the resolution, we tentatively suggest that it be approved at the council's regular meeting on October 15th, with closing on the loan scheduled for October 17th. I would come back on the 15th for the adoption, and at that time I would gather signatures on the set of closing documents which we're working on, again, which effectuate the loan with Central State Bank. The terms are very, very favorable, as is expected from Central State Bank, always makes very, very favorable proposals for these types of loans, and I'm glad to answer any questions Council might have about the details and the structuring of the loan and how it works.
The presentation at a previous council meeting was very descriptive, but does council have any questions?
I think you were the only bank that didn't have a prepay penalty.
Yep.
That is correct.
Yeah. Which is good.
Totally. So, forgive my ignorance. Can you explain a little more about what the tax exempt bank loan is?
Yes, sir. So when a city borrows money to undertake a capital improvement project, The loan is typically tax exempt. And what that means is the lender, the investor or the bank in this case, that provides the money to the city, will earn a profit when the loan is repaid with interest. The interest is essentially a profit to the lender, which must be reported to the Internal Revenue Service as income. Normally, if you have income, you pay income tax on it. But when a city borrows money for municipal purpose, the interest on the loan is tax exempt, meaning that the lender does not have to pay the IRS income tax on the loan. That provides a benefit to the lender, which is recognized through a low interest rate, in this case 2.37% and 2.48%. It provides a benefit, of course, to the city because it gets that loan at favorable terms. In a bank's case, the IRS regulations governing tax exempt loan are such that in certain cases, the bank especially benefits when a tax-exempt loan is designated as bank-qualified. And that basically allows the bank to receive almost all of the full benefit of tax exemption that investors on Wall Street might otherwise enjoy if the bonds were marketed on Wall Street. This resolution contains a bank-qualified designation, which allows the bank to get the full benefit of tax exemption. And that basically says that the city does not intend to issue more than $10 million worth of tax-exempt bonds calendar year 2019. After having spoken with Helene, I understand that is in fact the city's intent. It won't be more than $10 million worth of loan, which allows the city to designate this loan as bank qualified and enjoy that nice interest rate.
Question on the description of the interest rate in the resolution. I apologize, but on the 20-year loan, it describes the interest rate as a fixed rate of 2.48%, subject to adjustment as provided in the loan's series. So, I mean, what would that have? 25 words or less, because I've seen these and I know it can go 10 pages, but under what terms would that not be a true fixed interest rate as folks that take out car loans understand the term?
The terms by which the interest rate can be adjusted are very limited, and they are limited to instances where the city fails to take action that maintains the tax-exempt status of the loan. For instance, if the city were to use the loan proceeds for some purpose other than stormwater utilities and stormwater equipment, it could conceivably jeopardize the tax-exempt rate on the bond, notes in this case. And in that case, the lender would be able to adjust the rate of interest so that they get the same annual return as if there had been tax exempt.
Basically, you're talking about a situation where there'd be a default under the covenants in the bond.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Understood. Council, any other questions? Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, moving on to item four is a resolution approving modification number 3 to the agreement between the City of Palm Coast and the Division of Emergency Management for the purchase and installation of a generator at City Hall. More, Pearl. Yes.
Good morning. This item is for a grant modification number 3 for our FEMA grant for our generator for this building that we're in. We had initially gone out to bid. Bid came in over budget. It didn't meet a cost-benefit ratio per the FEMA guidelines, so we had to go in and do some modifications to the project, and they were able to reallocate some additional funds to the project. So this agreement takes all those items into account.
Really, if there are any questions here, I understand the cost benefit analysis that went on didn't qualify before. Is there anything else we should really know about this?
Nope. We were able to work through with them, and the next item is actually the piggyback contract. We were able to go with the piggyback contract that brought the cost of the project down within the cost benefit ratio analysis that met the criteria. So we're ready to move forward on the project as soon as the grant modification is approved. We have a piggyback in place and we can go straight to construction and manufacturing.
I know it's not. This is one of the prelims, Carl, but what's the, remind us again, what's the estimated time we're actually going to have the standby generator that can power this building?
It would, I'd say by next summer. I don't remember what the quote said. As soon as the shop drawings are approved, it goes into, they'll give us an actual lead time for the manufacturing. That was like 12 to 16 weeks, I think, from our last recollection. So it'll be another month before we have shop drawings, 3 to 4 months before the manufacturer, and then they have to install it. So we're talking 6 to 8 months probably before it's operational. It should be in place around the time for next hurricane season.
That was my subtle way of asking.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, where is this going to be located at, the generator?
It's in the enclosure where our mechanical system is, so you will not see it. There'll be three added components. There's a generator, then there's a separate fuel tank, and there's a separate ETS automatic transfer switch. And it's all in the yard, chiller, mechanical yard outside on the west end of the building.
Speaking of the generator, have we installed the generator for the community center yet?
Yes, that is installed and up and running and functional.
Okay. Yep. Nice. That's all right, Council. Any other questions, concerns? No? Okay. Do you want to stick around for the next one? We have item 5 is a resolution approving piggybacking the Sourcewell contract with Caterpillar for the purchase of the City Hall generator.
Correct. This is an item to piggyback the contract. We initially did a public bid, and the bids actually came in higher than a piggyback contract. But we had to go through the process with FEMA and the state to get the piggyback contract approved. That met the grant criteria. We were able to do that working through the attorneys at the state and manufacturer level. So that is, item is ready to go forward.
Excellent.
Do we have anybody that takes care of takes care of the maintenance of these things, or we...
we contract that, correct. We have a citywide contract that maintains all of our larger generators.
It's outsourced. We don't have anybody.
Correct. We do some, a little bit internal, but most of it is the bigger stuff is outsourced, correct.
Fair enough. Council, any other questions, concerns? All right, thank you very much, Carl. Moving on is a resolution approving continuing service agreements with multiple firms for building inspection and plan review services.
I thought you were going to take that, Carl.
Carl, tag him in. Morning.
Good morning, Vice Mayor, City Council. This agenda item is for continuing service contracts for building services. That would include building administration, building plans review, and building inspector services. We acquired these contracts to protect us in the event that we have a gap in our building administration like we did previously, and we would have coverage now for that through these contracts, and also for customer service relations when it comes to peaks in service, we could outsource if necessary. There's no anticipated spending at this time.
Understood that our current situation has had that position filled.
Yes, I'm happy to announce that our building official starts on Monday.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Good news.
Yes, sir. On the three firms that we would be selecting this resolution, I noticed this on a couple of these packages for today. Universal Engineering Services I've heard of, and they totaled up like a little over 71 points. The other two that apparently are qualified are 15, 20 points lower than that. I mean, what's the, without going into minute detail, what's the discrepancy? It just seems like a spread.
Universal is local. They have an office in Palm Coast that increased their score quite a bit.
Okay.
And there was familiarity with them as well.
Yeah. I was just wondering, I mean, is, are the other two scores that much lower just because they're not considered local vendors?
Yeah, they're, Nova is a large firm like Universal. Yeah. But they're based in Carolina somewhere with office, nearest office in Orlando. The third company is based in Tampa, and they're a smaller firm. Our intention here is to have them all come in and describe how they would provide the service to us, and then if needed, we would basically try them out, because we've never done this before, not since the city took building services in-house from
But basically, we can, the intent is that we can pick and choose these firms as the work demands.
Correct. Yes, that's right. And IT has helped us set up a portal where we can send them just the files that we want them to review, so they don't have access to all of our building, building software.
Yeah. Not too concerned about that. I assume most of it, a lot of it, if not most of it, would be done online.
Correct. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Moving on to item number 7, it's a resolution approving master service agreements with multiple firms for citywide traffic engineer services.
We will have several of these items today. There are continuing service consultant contracts. They're with multiple firms. They're to supplement staff workload as well as to farm out certain projects as well if we need some other expertise in areas.
Fair enough. I see the point matrix here. It seems like I think it's always good to have these people on backup. In situations like this where the point spread is much closer, is it more availability that it comes down to who we would have to select for these type of things, or I guess we take that as...
Yeah, some of it's based on timing, some of it's based on the need. Some firms specialize in one area over another, so it depends on what the project is, and we'll reach out to all the firms and hire the most qualified or the most responsive firm for that particular scope. I mean, we've got.
Excellent. And how's our current traffic engineer situation?
It is excellent.
Cool. Excellent. Questions, concerns, council members? Perfect. Okay. Moving on to item 8 is a resolution approving master service agreements with multiple firms for citywide civil engineering services.
In this one here, you'll see a large number of firms. This we did that mainly because firms are very busy right now. We have a lot of capital projects as well, and we want to know a wide variety of firms in terms of size and location. For some of the smaller projects, you know, we may want to go to a smaller, more local firm. Larger projects that may need certain expertise, we'll go through and put out an LOI and find out which firm is best suited for that particular project. But we noticed over the years, too, a lot of merging of firms as well. We've lost a couple firms on our past list of firms, so we didn't want to reduce to only a couple as well.
All right. Council, concerns? Questions? No? Pretty standard. Moving on to item 9, it's a resolution approving master service agreements with multiple firms for stormwater pipe inspection services.
This one here, we have a large number of pipes to be inspected this year. So due to the high quantity, we in the past had piggybacked off a DOT contract, but knowing we had such a high number of pipes to inspect, we went out to bid and got a contract directly with particular firms to do this service for us.
Carl, I mean, same question as on one of the prior resolutions. I mean, I noticed on this one, I've heard of McKim and Creed. I'm familiar with them. The second company, In-Depth Inc., is 22 points lower, I assume. I mean, obviously, they're qualified or they would not be on the list. But, I mean, what's the basis for that discrepancy?
I don't have those specifics in yeah. front of me right now. Again, I think we didn't want to award to just one. If the first firm doesn't work out, we have a second firm to work with. I don't think we've used in-depth before as well, so just maybe partially unfamiliarity with them.
How many responses did we get on this? Was this one of them?
I think it was just those two, just those I believe. Two. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the third one, actually.
Yeah, I could probably answer that one better. Oh. The second company, they were actually more of a diving, certified diving specialist. So they do some of the other regular inspections, but they provide that capacity as well. So we felt it was a good idea to have them for certain situations that may come up. No. Yeah.
Well, I was somewhat sarcastically saying, well, I know who McKim and Creed is, but in depth must be like one small guy with scuba gear and a dope
hat. A couple of small guys.
If they're qualified and can do the job, that's fine. I just, the point spread just sort of caught my attention.
Yeah. Okay. That's our specialty.
Yeah. Let's hope he's not claustrophobic.
You better not be, right?
They got these tiny little daggers with the tiny little pipes. It's, questions, concerns, council? Is that covers? Always good to have somebody in the badge box. Excellent. Moving on to item number 10, a resolution approving master service agreements with multiple firms for minor pipe services.
This here is a service agreement that we were pre-qualified contractors to do pipe replacement work for our smaller size pipes. This way we have contractors already lined up that are qualified to do this type of work, either to deal with workload or just to deal with special circumstance type projects that we want to use a contractor for rather than do it in-house.
I'm sure it's pertinent or imperative to have people like this on standby because of all the pipe projects we have going on. So, council, any questions, concerns? All right, moving on to item 11. It is a resolution approving. Thank you very much, Carl. Item 11, resolution approving master service agreements for emergency construction services.
Yes, this is just to have a couple contractors on under contract on in case of any kind of a catastrophic emergency. We have a sewer failure in the middle of the road or something, and we don't have the wherewithal to do it. We either were too busy or we don't have the equipment. So we like to have a couple contractors under contract. We can call them anytime we need.
Just this particular item, the dollar figure for the two contractors that we're selecting, and is that like a maximum hourly rate?
It's a combination of items to use to evaluate each contractor. So it'd be a list of hourly rates for equipment and labor. And so it's just a combination of a group of them just for evaluation purposes.
So it's basically the points for these.
Yes.
That doesn't specifically relate to something we're going to see on an invoice if we...
Correct. It would be a combination of, you might have, one backhoe and... three-man crew. Another job, you might have a backhoe, a dump truck, and a six-man crew. So that it all gets, everything gets charged out by the hour.
Fair enough. Council, questions, concerns? Okay, moving on to item 12. It's a resolution approving master service agreements with multiple firms for wastewater emergency tank trucking services.
That one's a pretty easy one. I think we talk about that one a lot. We like to have tank truck companies under contract in case we have, mostly in storm events where we have potential sewer overflows, we call in tank trucks to pump out our system on an as-needed basis. Hopefully we never use them, but we'd like to have them under contract.
Yeah. Richard, I know after the storms and the $2 million budget, pumping and so forth a couple of years ago. Do we have any in-house capability?
Yes, we have three tank trucks of our own and two back trucks.
Okay.
And so minor events, we call them out quite frequently. Yeah. These are just when things get beyond our capability.
Understood. Brownian septic employment. That's a honeymoon.
No things are bad. I can start seeing these guys shuttling around the streets of the city.
There you go. Yeah. But better in the trucks than on the streets, right?
Better to have them.
Council, any questions, concerns on item number 12? All right, fair enough. Thank you very much. Item 13 is a resolution approving master service agreements with multiple firms for geotechnical and laboratory services.
This here is another continuing service consultant contract service for geotechnical work and laboratory testing. This here is for, we use this a lot on various capital projects to do soil investigation before we construct projects, or if we're going to do analysis of roadways to do some cores through asphalt or concrete testing. It's various services like that. Contract.
Good. Council, any questions, concerns? Standard like the rest, fair enough. Moving on to item 14, it's a resolution approving master service agreements with Advanced Environmental Laboratories Incorporated and Pace Analytical Services LLC for laboratory analysis.
He just put shit up there.
This is a different kind of laboratory service, not to be confused with geotech. This is for our everyday sampling. All of our compliance sampling is all done by an independent laboratory. And so we use these guys every single day to come pick up samples, run the lab tests. Most of them are for compliance purposes.
Fair enough. And it is this is pertinent to your everyday life. You guys do samples every day, basically?
Absolutely.
Understood. Okay. Question, concerns, council members?
Not to hear.
Okay, thank you very much. Moving on to item 15, it's a resolution approving a master service agreement with Florida Meter Services for testing and repairs of revenue and well meters.
Yes, this is pretty much as it's stated. We do testing. The larger meters are testable and calibratable, unlike the individual meters for residential service. So the larger meters, we have several that are tested as a requirement of our permits, our operating permits, like well meters and plant meters. And then we have 157 larger meters that serve commercial establishments. We want to make sure those are tested regularly to maintain their accuracy and make sure we're charging the customer properly. So we do those, all of those, on an annual basis.
Richard, one. Is this testing something that has to be done by an independent laboratory, or is it just more cost effective to have one of these?
It's more cost effective. They have specialized equipment. They come in, knock it out in a couple of days, and I think it does add a little credibility when you do it by an independent organization, especially for the revenue meters.
And they get a certification or something to
yes.
Understood. Yeah. Fair enough. Okay, excellent. Questions, concerns, council members? Good. Okay, moving on to item 16 is a resolution approving master service agreement with GEM Stone Contractors Incorporated for underground utility locates.
Yes, that one is for when someone wants to dig and they call 811, it generates a ticket, and every underground utility that operates in the area has to go out, mark their pipes, their wires. We sub that out. The workload is very variable. Gemstone has been the successful low bidder for quite a number of years. He's got three guys that do this full time, but he can staff up to five or six depending on the workload. He's a contractor, and he can pull guys out that have been trained to do this out off of his work sites to do the locates. He carries specialized equipment and provides us services as the requests come in.
Understood. Council, questions, concerns? No. Okay, excellent. Moving on to item 17, it's a resolution approving a work order with Aquatic Management Plus LLC for weed control for the freshwater stormwater drainage system.
This here is a work order with Aquatic Management Plus. We currently contract with them to apply weed control on our canal system. Last year, we contracted with them to begin implementing that spray program of weed control on our ditches. So they handled it the first year. We are looking to contract through a work order with them again for this year to do treatment on our ditches.
Did we see good results from the implementation last year?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, we because it was a new program. We had modem in the past, some of them were inaccessible, so we've been working through getting them access and then getting our guys behind them to follow up to keep up maintenance so it becomes less of less work, I guess.
More manageable.
More maintainable.
Perfect. I'm a fan of long as it's working. Councils, questions, concerns?
Now, all them fish floating on top, that's just fertilizer.
All right. Moving on to item 18, it's a resolution piggybacking the City of Plantations contract with Allied Universal for the purchase of sodium hypochlorite.
Until it's the beginning of the fiscal year. This particular one is just the chlorine that we buy every day for water and wastewater plants. And just for the daily supply.
Council questions? All right, thank you. Moving on to item 19, it's a resolution approving a master price agreement with Camera Use Lime and Stone for the purchase of calcium bolt quick lime.
Yeah, that's the material we use as our primary source of treatment chemical for water treatment plant number one, as well as the ZLD on water treatment plant number two.
Understood. Council, questions, concerns? Moving on to item 20, it's a resolution approving master price agreements with Chemical Systems of Orlando Incorporated and Hawkins Incorporated for the purchase of various chemicals.
Again, just more treatment chemicals. In this case, it's several miscellaneous chemicals that we buy on a regular basis. So we have split it amongst two suppliers, depending on who is the low bid on each.
And these are all chemicals that are in use today?
Yes.
Understood. Council questions, concerns? All right, thank you very much. That concludes our written items. Moving on now to our second portion of public participation. If you would like to address our council, you have 3 minutes to do so. Once you approach the podium, state your name for the record.
Give them hell.
Okay. Don't start timing me yet. I didn't get there. All right, I'm going to continue from where I left off. I told you that I met with our city manager, Mr. DiLorenzo. I also met with Dr.
Do you state your name for the record?
My name?
Yeah.
Again?
Yes.
I'm still Phyllis Robin Scheffler. And she took the, no. You took time away from me. That's not fair.
There we go. Now we're back.
I told you I met with the city manager, Mr. DiLorenzo. Dr. Howell, who I admire greatly, also afforded me the opportunity to listen to my tale of woe. Mr. DiLorenzo asked me what I expected. I told him I want my deck fixed so that it does not continue to leak, and that I suggested that he set up workshops for the staff at permitting to make them aware of what has been happening, not only to me, but to many, many more homeowners in our city, according to Jay Moore, compliance manager. And in order to ensure that what is written on the application is the truth, I hope that Mr. DiLorenzo's appointment as Chief Development Officer does not exclude the protection and rights of the homeowner and favor the contractors and developers. Mr. DiLorenzo said you approved this building inspection from a firm. Well, I think the building inspectors are not doing their job. Somehow it seems to me they may be in cohorts with the contractor, and that disturbs me greatly. Strongly, jokingly, I told Mr. DiLorenzo that if he needs help as an adjunct professor, I would volunteer my services gratis when he instructs the building and permitting department as to their proper role of looking over for the homeowner. That's what your job is. Your job is to look out for the taxpayer in this community and not to exclude the taxpayer and favor the contractors. I would do my services gratis. As a former accountant and school principal, I might qualify. That's my presentation for today. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm incensed. I'll show you what I have accumulated here. See this thing? Dr. Howell saw this. Our city manager saw it. I'll share it with any of you. I have spent 7 months researching. 7 months. And I'm almost 94 years old. And I'm not going to stop until I die.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Take it easy.
I'm okay. No, I'm fine. Physically, I'm fine.
Next speaker, nobody? Okay, excellent. I will close public participation.
Wait a minute, wait a second.
Oh, understood. Gotcha. I thought, yep.
What?
Yeah. Slide movement. Okay.
A bunch of crap.
Jack Kyle, I'm close. I see this. All these things up here, right? And I don't see a dollar sign on any of them. You have here a resolution for your cultural arts, $30,000. Now, I remember years ago when they used to put this on the agenda, they used to put down what each and every organization gets and what it was for. You don't just give money irresponsibly. We are supposed to know, and we are the public. We are the people that pay this money out. We're entitled to know exactly what this money is for. If the cultural arts is going to put on a show, it doesn't call for that kind of money. If they're going to advertise, these are the things that this money is for. Now we got all these contractors. Now, first of all, this was the stupidest thing I've ever seen, having one man get up and then the other one and the other one and the other. You could have done this, adjusted this, so that one man sat and did his whole presentation for everything at one time without jumping up and down like who knows what. Anyway, I don't see any money items here. We're hiring people, and it's not saying why and how much we're going to spend. If this is a big secret, then you don't have to have open meetings. Thank you. Things are getting to be a little bit ridiculous. I got 48 seconds. Why is it we have all this on the workshop, and when we get into the regular meeting, it's a 10-minute deal, and we're out? I don't see any of these things on the regular meetings. Let's get this thing straightened out.
Thank you. Next speaker. Okay, I will close public participation. Phyllis, I will try to get more information on exactly where that situation stands. I can't comment too much about it. I don't have the details.
Can't hear.
As far as the consent agenda, those are where the resolutions will be at our next actual business meeting. The reason that all of these contracts are on here and these resolutions approving all these consultant works is because it's work that's yet to be determined. These are just lining up those entities in place before the work is actually needed. So if we were to have the need for an emergency wastewater tank trucking service, we don't necessarily say how much we're going to issue a contract for. We just need them on deck ready to go. And then in the full agenda,
The way that they were ranked is by, they were given a product list, and the sum of the services that they would provide in a hypothetical situation is how they're ranked. So even though there's no dollar numbers associated to fulfill this contract, they were given a list that they had to appropriate, and that was the sum totals inside of our agenda packets. Also, I had written down the dollars for the Arts Foundation. They were enumerated out when Ms. Johnson was up here. She had a nice matrix of the different programs that had to go through to be qualified to be eligible for this grant money. And it was all allocated, from what I can recall, equally across the different programs. What they do with that, with those monies, isn't necessarily for our discretion, as long as the program qualifies to meet the needs to reach that grant. Okay, moving on, we will go to discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda. Councilman Howell?
I wanted to piggyback on something that is very important in Ms. Phillips's presentation here, because I've taken action. We have a scenario where a builder has essentially built the city. Grand theft by claiming the project in her situation, a $23,500 check that was written to her and her builder on an insurance claim, and he claims that the cost of the project was $2,200. Now, if it had been $2,500 or more, which it obviously was, there's money due to the city in terms of fees and further inspections. And we've got to stop this hemorrhage. Now, I've taken the paperwork that was provided to me by Ms. Robbins, and I've given it to Commander Williams, and we've initiated action with the state's attorney's office, because this is grand theft. And I'd hate to think how much money the city has lost.
God bless you.
has lost over the years. That money should be here in our coffers so that we can reduce our taxes. And so I've had discussions with our city manager, and I've recommended that Jason and I and the city manager and Jay Moore and a few others kind of look at closing that loophole so that unscrupulous builders can't just kind of slide away here and then profiteer off of funds that are rightfully owned by the city. See, sharp lady.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for taking that initiative. You're absolutely right. Anybody that we can shine the light on to. When the light is shined, the roaches will scurry, right? So.
Well, I also talked to my friend R.J. Lorenzo, too. He's well aware of what's going down here, so I'm pushing this.
Fair enough. Understood. Anything else? Councilman Allen? That was it? Perfect. All right. Councilman Cuff?
Just briefly, I don't know if it's the change of seasons or what, but I don't know if the other council members have noted it, but I seem to be getting a lot of litter complaints from around the city in the last couple of weeks. Obviously, it decreases the quality of life. You know, and I know the city public works crews do what they can, but with 500 miles of roads and the parks and the trails and everything we have, I don't think our tax base would sustain enough employees on a constant basis to correct this. So, again, perhaps some social media, proposals to different citizen groups and volunteer groups. I know the Rotary Club that I belong to has adopted part of Seminole Woods Parkway. You know, my wife and I have adopted the vacant lots on our end of our street because for some reason they seem to attract the beer cans and discarded food wrappers and so forth. And I think this is an issue that, while it certainly is a legitimate concern and whatever we can enforce, we should, it's something that could also benefit from, you know, neighbors helping neighbors and taking some pride in their own neighborhoods and not saying,
that vacant lot two doors down from me doesn't belong to me, so whatever trash gets dumped there is somebody else's problem. Certainly, if it's a major dumping situation, the city needs to be aware of it, and the sheriff's office as well. But if it's the kind of stuff that I'm hearing people complaining about, citizen awareness and some folks with gloves and plastic bags and grabbers, kind of like what we did for the intercoastal waterway cleanup a month and a half ago, I think would be a good use of volunteer time. So
I would plus one that, and I think you're right, grassroots is a good way to kind of tackle this. Councilmember Aquino?
Yeah, basically just to add on to what Councilman Buckup just said, it's not going to get any better because we're growing. Yeah. We have to enforce it, and one of the ways to enforce is, I like the word educate, inform people that they should be a little more concerned about the neighborhoods. Maybe we should come up with some kind of a saying that be proud of your neighborhood, keep it clean. Okay. If you see somebody dumping or illegal dumping or whatever, just connect. Just use connect, and that's something we could do. And this is basically, once again, I don't like the word educate. I like the word inform. Inform people that they should not be doing this. It's you wouldn't want to do it in your backyard. Why do you want somebody else's backyard? So a good point. And that's maybe we could come up with some kind of saying on our Facebook and you name it.
I think you're right. The social media campaign could very well be built around that. Anything else? I didn't mean to cut you off. Anything else?
No, I'm good.
Cool. Excellent. Okay, and I have nothing to add for this meeting. I'll move on to item I, which is discussion by city attorney of matters not on the agenda.
Nothing, Mr. President.
And item J is discussion by city manager of matters not on the agenda.
Nothing, Mr. Vice Mayor. Thank you.
Understood. Okay, I will entertain a motion for adjournment.
So,
we'll